Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Monday, July 6th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. And first up, Scott Griebel is resigning from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly effective July 7. Griebel was elected to the Assembly's District 1, Kalifornsky seat in October 2025. In a letter, Griebel says he is resigning from the Assembly to take a job with the borough. Griebel is a former borough employee of 25 years and had moved to a private sector position before running for Assembly. In his resignation letter, Griebel described serving on the Assembly as a, quote, absolute honor, and says he hopes to continue his public service in his new role. He did not say what position he is taking at the borough. Griebel's departure marks a sort of musical chairs for the Assembly's Kalifornsky seat, which covers the area between Kenai and Soldotna. During the last municipal election, Griebel ran against two candidates for a seat that opened with James Baisden's resignation about a year ago. Griebel wrote about the Assembly, adding, quote, "In my brief time with this group, I have witnessed individual respect, cooperation, and understanding that is inspiring in these partisan times," end quote. The Assembly will appoint a temporary replacement for Griebel, who will serve until the next borough election in November. Interested candidates can apply between July 8 and August 23rd. An official replacement elected in November will serve the remainder of the seat's three-year term, which expires next year. Griebel could not be reached for comments on Wednesday. The Alaska Supreme Court says Dan J. Sullivan must be included on the ballot for a U.S. Senate seat. The court sent the case back to the Division of Elections to decide how the challenger's name will appear. Sullivan is a retired teacher from Petersburg. He shares a name and chose the same party affiliation as the Republican incumbent, Senator Dan Sullivan. The Division of Elections kicked him off the ballot because it said his aim was to confuse voters. But during oral arguments early last week, the justices repeatedly returned to the idea that the division could just differentiate between the two candidates with, for example, middle initials. Chief Justice Susan Carney questioned whether the division had to go as far as disqualifying the candidate to prevent confusion.
The remedy that the division has chosen is the most extreme possible remedy. Why not use one of the lesser ones?
The division's conclusion that the challenger wasn't a good faith candidate relied in part on an email he sent at one point, wrongly giving his middle initial as S. That's the senator's middle initial. Petersburg Sullivan corrected himself in a later email, but attorney Christopher Murray, representing the division, argued that wasn't an innocent mistake.
There's a lot of other letters in the alphabet that could have been a typo. The fact that he picked the middle initial of the sitting United States senator that he's purporting to genuinely challenge, we don't think that the division is obligated to not notice that. It was very, very troubling.
Justice Amy Oravec said it's fine for the division to notice.
The issue is whether that justifies booting someone off the ballot versus mitigating, which you're clearly authorized and empowered to do. So there's a lot of different ways you can distinguish these two candidates on the ballot, short of precluding access to the ballot to begin with.
The case may not entirely be concluded. The division has proposed to list the challenger with his full name and label him a nonpartisan. His attorney, Jeffrey Robinson, said the state has no authority to strip him of his chosen party affiliation. And Alaska lawmakers failed to meet an informal deadline Wednesday to vote on a bill reducing taxes for the Alaska LNG project. Lawmakers had planned to reconvene in Juneau to vote on a compromise drafted by a conference committee. But leaders of the bipartisan coalitions controlling the House and Senate say they are still working out the details after a lengthy series of hearings. They are now planning a final vote for July 16. So then a Representative Justin Ruffridge, representing the House's all-Republican minority on the conference committee, says his caucus is in the dark. So he and seven other House Republicans showed up to the Capitol to make their case during what's known as a technical session.
There's been supposedly a lot of work that's been done over the last 3 days. I couldn't tell you what that is because I haven't been a part of it. And I think that's frustrating for a lot of people. So they try to come find out what's happening on their own.
Technical sessions are typically uneventful. Lawmakers gavel in and quickly adjourn without taking any action. But House Minority Leader Delaina Johnson, a Palmer Republican, says she planned to object to adjourning. That would give Republicans a chance to express their concerns about the slow progress on the bill on the floor. But they didn't get that chance. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham Independent, canceled the session instead.
To have a number of members come down for a technical session after they were advised not to come down, just to create political theater, is not helping the process.
Edgman says lawmakers are making progress behind the scenes. Lawmakers also declined to attempt an override of nearly $90 million in state budget items vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Edgman says lawmakers simply didn't have the three-quarters supermajority needed to override a budget veto. That's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included stories from KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara, Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin, and Eric Stone. Concert on the Lawn is coming up on Saturday, July 11th from noon to 7 p.m. at Karen Hornaday Park. Come celebrate KBBI and our community with live music from local favorites, including the Spit City Slickers, English Bay Band, and the KP Brass Band. We're looking for volunteers to help with Concert on the Lawn, and volunteers will get free admission to the concert. Applications are available on our website, kbbi.org. Also, KBBI's Board of Directors invites you to an exclusive house concert on Thursday, July 16th, featuring internationally renowned German pianist and music educator Marcus Berger, accompanied by oboist Pat Pueyten. Join us for an evening of memorable music, including locally influenced original tunes, plus premium boutique wines and locally catered appetizers. Tickets are available at kbbi.org. KBBI is also still accepting submissions for art for this year's Members Mug. You can find the rules and a template at kbbi.org. Listening. Good morning.